Good evening. Good to see all of you back here tonight. I trust that you had a good afternoon in the Lord. We will be finishing up the book of Mark, maybe tonight, maybe not, but we'll be in Mark chapter 16. The last chapter of the book of Mark. We've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Mark, and we're beginning chapter 16 tonight. Don't forget, if you are going to the Ladies Spring Retreat, March 9th and 10th, tonight is the night to put in your deposit. Please see Ms. Kim with that. If you're going, the total cost is $65, which includes the hotel stay, the breakfast, the conference cost, and lunch. Deposit due of $30 tonight. There. That's down at West Palm Beach. You'll be traveling down to Central Baptist Church, West Palm Beach. You're going to do that. Lord knows I didn't forget something. Okay. All right. You just sit them further back, right? That's how it works. Mark chapter number 1. No, 16. Wow. That was far enough back. Mark 16, verse 1. Here we go. Lord, that's John. Brother Josh, can you help? All right. He's getting them, Brother Jim. Mark chapter number 16. Wow, I'm getting John. They both had four letters, so I was close. All right. Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre of the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting at the right side of the clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6, and he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." Verse 8, and they went out quickly, fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Before we go any further, let me say thank you to our visitors who are here with us tonight. We have a young lady visiting from North Carolina, visiting a friend locally, going to Disney this week. So glad that they are here with us. I hope they enjoy themselves tremendously. Make many memories. Leave all your money here. We'll use it for sure in our county. Good to see Adam drop in for be with us and see us tonight from over in Cocoa. Glad you're here. Certainly glad you're here. An empty tomb. A dead Savior. You know, there's something about this here as we've studied it. A dead Savior couldn't save. It was imperative that the Lord Jesus Christ rise again from the grave, or there would absolutely be no gospel to preach, because it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over with me. Hold your place there, Mark. We're looking at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. And verse number 25, Romans chapter 4, verse number 25. The Bible says here in Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Praise the Lord for that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You mean to say, Pastor, that if the Lord had not risen again from the grave, that we would not have opportunity to be saved? That's what I'm saying to you. Why are you saying that? Because that's what he said must happen. Now, if Jesus would have said, I must just die as the matter of all men, and that's it, that would have been it. But it is what he said must take place, and what he said it had to come to pass that way, because he's a God that cannot lie. So he's told us that if we had a God that could lie, dear friend, we wouldn't have much of a Savior. And you'll notice that the apostles, beginning in Acts chapter 1, the apostles continued to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 22, Acts 1:22, the Bible says, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. So even after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the ascension, the apostles always brought about this fact as something that was needful. Look in Acts chapter 4. And verse number 2. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 2. The scripture says in Acts 4, 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Look at verse 33 of that same chapter. Verse number 33 of the same chapter there, Acts chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, the resurrection, dear friend, testifies that Jesus Christ was exactly who he had claimed to be. It was part of it. He made an emphatic statement as Jonah was in the belly's well for 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man. And he said it must be, and the Scriptures must be fulfilled. And this was part of God's plan, that the power of God would raise the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. Look back over in Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9 and verse 9 and 10. Mark chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Mark chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man that what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Look over in verse 33, 31 of that same chapter. Verse 31 of the same chapter. For he taught the disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Rise the third day. Romans chapter 1, verse 41, verse 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says this, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. So we have a God that said some things and to us, wrote them down. He said, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So as he spoke and men began to write down the word of God and record the things that God said for us and the things that God told them to write, one of those things was that he would rise again the third day. And so here the women arrive at the empty tomb there in Mark chapter number 16, verses 1 through 4. They get there to the empty tomb. And there's some things that we should notice about the empty tomb that should help us to have some understanding. Now, the events after the Sabbath, look at verse number 1. Verse number 1, and when the Sabbath was what? Passed. So now we're in the events after the Sabbath. Sabbath is over. Now, the seventh day is the Sabbath according to the Jewish calendar, and that ended at Saturday at sundown. On Saturday, that would be the Sabbath, all the way down to the sundown there. And after the Sabbath had ended, the Bible says here that these ladies, these faithful servants of God, they showed up to bring some spices, and they wanted to anoint his body. It kind of gave me indication there that maybe they were not there, or they were too distraught to know that Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, had done prepared the body with spices, and they weren't quite sure. We know they were very faithful. They were there at the finish of the cross when the crucifixion took place. But I'm not sure that they were there whenever they took the body, according to what we see here, because they came wanting to bring those spices themselves. Now, perhaps they were, and they were just too distraught. I mean, it was a very critical time in their faith and in their life and all the people's lives that were surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. But some reason or another, or perhaps there was another type of ceremony that the Jewish people held, that they came by a couple of days later and they wanted to bring the spices there and anoint his body. But for some reason, after the Sabbath was complete and it was over, they showed up there and they wanted to bring these spices and anoint his body with it. Now, something that I just thought about, here last week or so about this whole thing. After the Sabbath had ended, they brought these spices, and I began to think about this. Why was it after the Sabbath, and what was significant about this, and what did it really mean? And so I went back to the first time that God rested. What was the first time that God rested? The creation, right? 6 days he created, the seventh day he rested. What is taking place in salvation? If any man's in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. So what had happened? The work of salvation had took place, and after the Sabbath had passed, I believe that he rested himself there as significant, perhaps, of showing us of that that the redemption work had been finished. He rested there in the grave on the Sabbath morning. Now, the events here that we're leading up to, the Sabbath, we have to go by the Jewish calendar, not our calendar, because this is written at a time when they were using the Jewish calendar. So the Sabbath ended at 6 o'clock that evening, that Saturday evening. And so let's go to verse 2 and listen what it says. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week. They came unto the sepulchre at the what? Rising of the sun. I want you to hold your place there and look over at a correlating passage in John. John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. John chapter 20, verse number 1. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse number 1. The Bible says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Listen to this phrase. When it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taketh away from the sepulchre. So the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene showed up there, and the ladies that came, they wanted to bring these spices. It's very early during this time there, and you notice that the stone was rolled away. It was not there. The sepulcher was open there at the rising of the sun as they approached it there. And what great love, dear friend, just think about it for a moment. What great love must have overcome the fear. I don't know about you. Maybe these ladies were much endowed with much courage, much more courage than I could ever have. But I'm just be honest with you. I don't think I'd be wanting to roam around in the dark in the graveyard. You know, it's dark. John 20 verse 1 said it was yet dark. Early on that morning, that Sunday morning, they showed up there. But it must have been the love that they had for the Lord Jesus Christ that probably overcame that fear. And you know, the Bible does say we're in Christ Jesus, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And they had a desire and a heart. They really wanted to serve and minister to the Lord, even at His dying and at His funeral, and do the best they could by anointing His body in a fashion that would be helpful to the customs of the day. Now, there is absolutely no proof that Christ arose as the sun rose, according to Scripture. He was already gone. Very early in the morning, it's yet dark. There's no proof that at the sunrise, that when the sun tipped up over there, that, oh, He popped up. That had nothing to do with it. He was up and He was gone. Another thing, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that mankind could see the power of God and the resurrected Savior was no longer there. So it's very important that we understand there. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. So we know that God cannot lie. As the Bible teaches that, God cannot lie. And so the words that we read, we have to take them as absolute. Not as figurative, but as absolute. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay, it was the first day of the week. They arose and went to the cemetery. They went to the tomb right outside of Golgotha. When they got there, He was already gone. So we know that the Sabbath ended at what time? Saturday, 6 o'clock in the evening. Their calendar began their day at 6:01 in the evening time, began their day. So sometime after the Sabbath, and before it got daylight, or it was yet dark, the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, rose again from the grave. The tomb is already empty. After spending 3 days and 3 nights in there, He rose again. My personal opinion, had it been sometimes, after 6 o'clock and Saturday evening, before maybe midnight, around 2, 3, somewhere around in there, but it was very early in the morning. It was sometimes in that third day that He rose again. Now, I believe personally, as I look at this and I scale it back and I look at what the Bible says, remember, this Sabbath was a high Sabbath. It was not your normal Sabbath. It was a couple of days added into there for preparation of the Passover. So when you back it up, I personally believe that through Scripture and through study and just simply common sense, looking at a calendar, He could not have been buried on a Friday. Just 3 days and 3 nights don't fit. I don't care how you crunch it. I don't care how much you take away. But I don't personally believe. You say, well, Pastor, I believe that. Well, I'm not trying to offend you. There's no offense here often. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you through scripture and through study and through looking at a calendar and laying it out as the Bible says, I don't believe there was no way he could have been buried on a Friday evening. Because there's never 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. So somewhere before that, you back it up, you count it up. I personally believe that he was buried sometimes right before 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. That is what I'm looking at. 3 days and three nights, right? Remember the Jewish calendar starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, their day. 6 o'clock the next day in the evening is what? One day. So now you're at Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Thursday evening to Friday evening at 6 o'clock, 2 days. Now what day we're on? Friday evening, right? Friday evening all the way to Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, 3 days. Three nights. That's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, remember last week I told you, don't go down the road fighting with folks about this. You don't need to jump on them and beat sense into the head and say, I'm going to make you understand this, because then you become foolish and with vain babbling there. But as opportunity does approach and gives itself, I mean, it's simple. If we lay out just simple mathematics and add the hours together, that's where it looks like it is to me there. And thus the resurrection was after sundown, in my opinion, Saturday evening. Because then you begin the first day of the week. Saturday 6:01, begin the first day of the week for them. It's a little different for us. Our calendar's a little different. Their year calendar is different from ours. So you got to look at it, study it out, see it there for yourself. Now listen. There's a verse 3. Go back to our text. Verse 3. Mark chapter number 16, verse 3. Again, there is no need for us to try to cross swords with somebody in making sure we get our point across. If they're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in them, the Holy Spirit of God can convince them himself through the reading and study of Scripture. Now spend time with them. Don't back away from showing them truth. But I've always said this, and I always believe this, and I'll believe it till I die. Hopefully I will. I pray that I will. Truth will always stand on its own two feet. I don't have to prop it up. I don't have to, you know, convince you of truth, because truth will stand. And God's word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Amen. Verse 3. And then they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Kind of a little difficulty there. Remember, this was a great stone, as the Bible put it. And I'm not quite sure that they understood that there was a guard sit there yet. I'm not quite sure that they understood there was a seal put on there by Pilate's men. They didn't quite understand all this. They're worried about how we're going to roll this big old stone away. I mean, what we're going to do, and it's kind of a difficult there. You know, how often we fear difficulties before we actually know the whole circumstance. I mean, we fear. I mean, we worry, we fret, we worry, we fret. I think the Bible puts it like this. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's the song, right? Redeeming the time for the day is evil. What am I trying to say here? That's what I'm saying, Brother Jim. That's good when you have good, godly men around you. Fret not yourself of tomorrow. Listen, we worry too much about things down the road. We got to let God handle that. I mean, if He's a God that can save us, make us part of His family, prepare a mansion in heaven for us, all by Himself. He didn't ask for our help to do all this. He didn't ask for our help to create anything. It was all done. And He didn't ask us to hold the universe in His place. It consists by Him, according to Colossians 1. All things consist by Him. He's not asked for help on it. So, dear friend, let me tell you something. He will care for the most difficult things that we can imagine. This was the truth. I mean, they had to write a good question. Who's going to roll it away? Verse 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they said, and they were frightened. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And this was an angel here sitting here. Acts chapter 1. Isn't it amazing every time we've seen an encounter with man and angels there in the New Testament, as we looked at them, you know, when the angel appeared to Mary, the angel appeared to Joseph, man was afraid, the angels appeared to the shepherds, men were afraid there, but as it was, the angels just calmed them down. Listen, the angels are the Lord's messengers. They're the Lord's message. There's no need to be afraid. The Bible says in Hebrews, you know, be careful, be aware of the situation, because there's times that we could, unaware of what's happening, entertain an angel. And so this is what happened. You know, and they were afraid. They were frightened. In Acts chapter number 1, as they're standing there, they're gazing up into the heavens, and they're seeing the Lord ascend into heavens, we see sort of the same type of persons standing around there and talking with them. Did I say Acts 1?
Yes,
I did. Acts chapter number 1, verse 11. I mean verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so the messenger of the Lord sitting there to bring that message and present it to them and tell them, you know, what had just happened and what they should do from there. You know what's an amazing thing, though, dear friend? We don't have to sit around and just wait for angels. No. Too many of us wait. We got to have an angel. He's given us his word. He's given us the Bible. Well, if an angel would come. You know, we're starting to sound like the rich man in Luke. Listen, just get Lazarus up out of the grave. Send him back. I got five brothers. Listen, he was a beggar laying at the gate. You think they'd recognize Lazarus? Tell me the last beggar you walked past and tell me what he looked like or she looked like. You don't recognize him. He's just thinking. You know what Abraham said to him? He's got what? The prophets? Huh? We got the prophets? Quit sitting around and wait for an angel, dear friend. Get the word of God. He never said to us, to be doers of what the angel says. He says, be doers of my word. Hearers of my word. I mean, you got to get there. Could an angel appear? Yes. But it's not going to be a six-winged angel. It's not going to have wings and all that. Nowhere in scriptures you can find that an angel with wings appears to man. They appear as men to men, but they are God's messengers, and they have special messages. They were used in special times during that, but God has given us an infallible word that we can hear from him, and he speaks through us, to us through his word more than not. And so quit looking for angels. Look into the word and find help for your daily needs there. Look in verse 6, back in our text, verse 6. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and listen to this, tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that an amazing thing there that he just stuck Peter in there by himself? And I think he wanted Peter to know, Peter, I love you. Peter, I know you denied me. I know that you took them in and you went fishing. The others followed you. You remember who he showed up and talked with there a little bit after this? They were out there fishing. Peter, you love me. He said, go back and tell Peter. Go back and tell Peter. Peter was probably feeling pretty down about that time. Peter's probably feeling like, man, I have really blew my walk with the Lord. I'm going to ask you something, dear friend. You just think in your own heart, has there been a time that you really, really blew your walk? Your testimony. Jesus still loves you. Still loves you. I saw a little saying the other day, God in heaven who names the stars, he's not going to have a problem remembering his child's name. So go tell my disciples and Peter. He'll call you by name. He'll whisper in your ear and he'll call you. And he'll talk with you. He'll spend time with you. He'll help you along through those difficult hours. Look over in 1 Corinthians 15:20. We're about done. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. He was that first fruit of resurrection. That same just Jesus you're seeking. He's not here. He's risen. Look back over in the Old Testament, over in Micah. Look at Micah. I think we got two more verses we'll look at and we'll be done here tonight. Micah in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7, verse number 18. Micah chapter 7, verse number 18. Listen to what it says here, verse 18 and verse 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Go tell my disciples and Peter. You see the kindness of God towards backsliders. Backslidden folks. You see the kind. You need to read through. If you don't know God's kind to backsliders, read Micah 7, 18, and 19 again. They're in a backslidden state. And boy, Peter was in a backslidden state. He became cold, became hardened, became to the point where he vocally denied the Lord. You know, he didn't just wake up there. He didn't wake up where he vocally denied him, just outright spoken. Listen, it was little steps by little steps by little steps. God's tender. He's kind. He loves us. He wants us to do right. He wants to cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Amen. You know what he wants to put out there beside the sea? A no fishing sign. Because he knows we're going to go fishing. The devil's going to prompt us with the right lure, the right pole, the right thing. We're going to just pull up things that we did. We're going to use forgiven sins. Because we've not learned to forgive ourselves yet. We're going to use forgiven sins to keep us from doing things for God. Amen. Listen, if we have a God that's big enough to forgive our sins to save us, he's great enough to forgive us to restore fellowship. Amen. Go tell Peter, my disciples, and Peter. Well, they didn't stop. They told people along the way. Last verse. I mean, we got 1 minute before I let y'all go. Luke 24:9. They were told to go tell the disciples. Boy, I tell you, they did. Luke chapter 24, verse number 9. 9, 10, and 11, real quick. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They had to see for themselves, didn't they? Didn't stop them from telling. They went ahead and told. Let me tell you something, there's times that people are not going to believe what you say. But you keep telling, because truth will stand. God's word will not return void. It will not. Stay faithful at telling the story. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and he'll save whoever comes to him. Whoever comes to him. Father, we love you. Thank you for this evening, for the study of your word. We thank you, Lord, for sending visitors our way. We pray, God, that you will help us as we look deeper into the book of Mark and we finish up next week or the week after there as we finish his last verses. We pray, God, you'll continue to show us great things from your word that will help us see your character and see how you desire for us to live. Lord, we ask you to protect us tonight, keep us safe, rest our minds, our hearts, our bodies, that tomorrow we might rise up, serve you with all that's within us, and lift you up high and holy and righteous. May our conversations be pure. May we think upon pure things. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to sign up on the ladies' retreat over here.